I've always felt a calling to serve. I honor my grandparents for that. My paternal grandparents were in love their whole 60 years of marriage, and they were involved in their community and they were involved in their church, and they loved people. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, and they served, they passed along that gift of service to me. And I just feel mm-hmm. like I need to pay it forward. It just fills my soul.
I'm Ann Donnelly. Join me for an intimate look at the minds of the innovators and leaders shaping our region. We aren't just talking business, we're talking legacy. From the North Country Media Network, upstate New York's voices of authority, this is Building Success Stories, and it's time to start building yours. So I'm here today with Sharon Horton, who is the executive director of Habitat for Humanity, Northern Saratoga, Warren, and Washington counties.
You got it.
All right. Did it used to be Southern Adirondack?
So it still holds the name of Glens Falls Area Habitat for mm-hmm. Humanity. It's the original incorporated name. The AKA is the Northern Saratoga, mm-hmm. Warren, Washington counties. Okay. And we're in the process of getting that completely switched over so okay. that there's not those two names that are floating
yeah.
around. So
yeah.
Obviously the second, the AKA, describes us better.
Yeah. So that's indicative of a change that has come to this organization in the past year, right? Like when did you come on board as the executive?
I came on board in June of last year, so, you know, a year mm-hmm. and a half, or I'm sorry,
a little
not
over,
quite, a right? little over a half a year.
Yep. Were you before then?
I was with the National Alliance on Mental Illness, New York State. And then before that, the American Heart Association. And before that, the American Cancer Society.
So you have an extensive background in nonprofit. So what drew you to working in the nonprofit?
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't really know that I was going into nonprofit, really. Back in the 2008-2009 economic crash.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at an event facility called Perthshire. I had been there for 6-7 years, and things started to change there. And that same year, 2009, I lost my mom to ovarian cancer. And after a 3-year, very tough battle, and I took some time away. I took a leave of absence from my role at Perthshire. I was the general manager there. And after a few months, I went back to resume my role. And my boss told me he was dying.
Oh, wow.
Of a liver failure. And so I kind of had to make, I was faced with making a big decision. Like, mm-hmm. do I stay here, you know, after he passes, and, you know, have a new owner? Or, you know, I couldn't really wrap my head around that. And I had been doing some very close work with the Chamber of Commerce in Fulton Montgomery County, with bringing bus tours in to our event facility for dinner theater, because mm-hmm. we were, you know, strategizing about
where
how
is
we
it
could
located.
It's in considered Broad Albin, between Broad Albin and Amsterdam.
So did I tell you I'm from Gloversville?
You did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When you said you were from Gloversville, I was like, oh.
Fulton County.
My area. Yeah. So weddings, events, that kind of thing. You would have definitely, if you were in that
area. I think I know what it is. Like, I left that area in 81, but my sister's still living over there. So I think
okay.
I remember that, like, before you get to Bell's Mills.
Yes.
Of, yeah.
And it had its, like, biggest growth period, not to, like, pat myself on the shoulder, but between that, like, 2002 to 2008 period, we really grew exponentially. We brought in dinner theater during the week. And so my relationship with the chamber was such that I just asked, you know, do you guys have anything? And they did. And so I joined the chamber.
Oh, so you worked for the chamber?
Yeah. I worked for the chamber for a short period of time. It was not a really great mm-hmm. paying job. And so I had gone, you know, in a big, it was a big financial shift, because I was making about half of what I was making in my role as general manager at the Perthshire. So
yeah, that's the nonprofit.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but that started that nonprofit trail because, you know, then I was able to have an opportunity at the Cancer Society, and that was in West Palm Beach, Florida. Oh. I had friends down there living there. It was just wasn't good up here. And I wasn't, you know, making anywhere near what I was making before, and things were expensive, and it was just a tough time financially. And they said, come on down here. There's work here. Nothing's changed. Like, it's still rocking and rolling in Florida. And so I started looking, and I found the job with Cancer, moved my family down to Jupiter, and started working for the Cancer Society down there for Making Strides Against Breast Cancer.
Wow.
And I oversaw three community-wide walks, Making Strides Against Breast Cancer walks.
Wow.
In West Palm Beach, Port St. Lucie, and Stewart. Yeah.
So that was your entry into nonprofit.
That was a reminder.
You used your leadership skills that you had in hospitality.
Yes, ma'am.
To the nonprofit sector.
It did. It meshed well because I knew events, I knew operations, I knew managing staff or managing volunteers. It just all, kind of seamlessly transitioned together.
And then what came next?
And so I loved my time in Florida. It was fabulous, probably like your time in Ireland. It was not as long as I would have liked it. I was there about 4 years, and I had some family up here that needed me. And that's what we all move for, right?
Right, yeah.
And I moved back for family to take care of some elderly family. And at that point, I found the role with the Heart Association. And it was a walk role. So it was overseeing the Heart Walk. And it quickly transitioned into other campaigns and programs that they had there, because I love to learn and I love to do something different. So that was really fun. I was there for 6.5 years. Connected with a lot of really great people, and I had a great team. I just actually messaged the team the other day because a memory came up on Facebook where I was like pointing to my new sign outside my office for Heart, and obviously that was the day I started, and it was 10 years ago. So I was like, just
memories.
Hey, I'm thinking about you.
That's nice.
I believe it was 10 years ago.
Feeling a good feeling.
Yeah.
And then what came after Heart?
And then,
Cancer, Heart.
I know. I just kind of ran the gamut of the nonprofit space. And so I had been ready for a challenge, like the next step up, for a couple of years, with Heart. After doing the role with Cancer, which was, development, fundraising, event management, that kind of thing, it just had been a while, 8-9 years. And so I'd started to plug around and look around for an executive director job, because that would be the next step up. And I was on the board of NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, in the Capital Region. I served on their board. I have my eldest son lives with serious mental illness. And so I'd been a supporter and advocate for NAMI for a number of years. And it just came up through my email one day that the state chapter was looking for an executive director. And I knew that was for me. I had a passion connected, the passion I had with the advocacy for my son. It elevated my career. And so that was next. And I did a lot of work with NAMI at the Capitol, doing advocacy, legislative action, which I'd never done before. And it was such a joy, wonderful feeling to advocate for humans, for humanity, for what's right. I do miss that a little bit. After initiating some programming, smoothing over operations there, putting some processes in place to be in a really strong place, I came across this role. And it was just kind of divine intervention. I think I was burnt out. Mm-hmm. I was overseeing 24 affiliates across the state. Mm-hmm. I was
because it was a statewide,
position. Although I loved my role and I loved the people I interacted with and those people I served, I almost felt like it was too close. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense,
yeah.
Because
definitely.
My son was so greatly affected by it, and it just was burning. I was burning the candle at both ends.
That's maybe the downside. They always say the ideal is to have a career where you can blend your expertise and your passion. But like you said, if you're too close to it, it could lead to burnout then.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I found this position with Habitat and it felt good, like mm-hmm. boots on the ground, more grassroots, mm-hmm. digging into the people where I've, you know, spent a lot of my time in nonprofit is, you know, interacting, connecting community, connecting, you know, volunteers and sponsors and donors. And mm-hmm. It felt good. It felt like the right thing to do. And so I came on in June of 2025 and we've been rocking and rolling since.
Why don't you tell me more about Habitat? Because I'm fairly aware of Habitat, but not everyone might be.
So. Sure. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think there is a misunderstanding, as is in a lot of causes. You know, I think people, unless they're educated, don't really understand the ins and outs of nonprofit. So Habitat's mission is to connect people together to build community homes and connection. Mm-hmm. And so what Habitat does in real words is we serve hardworking families who fall between the 50 and 80% AMI, that's the average median income. Here in Warren, Washington County, that's, you know, between 52,000 mm-hmm. up to 84, somewhere in that range. And so those hardworking families, if they're ready for home ownership, if they're fiscally ready, meaning they've put a little money in the bank, they've got their credit's pretty good, and, you know, they've been thinking about home ownership for a while, if they're financially ready, if they're willing to invest hours, we require sweat equity hours. So they would have to volunteer either on their own home or someone else's home or here in the ReStore, mm-hmm. The Southern Adirondack ReStore, willingness, financial readiness, and need. So they have to have some sort of need, you know, either their rent's too high, their housing mm-hmm. that they're paying is too high, which is pretty common
it's
nowadays.
A huge issue in this area. Uh-huh. Every area probably, but
yes. Yeah. Yes. Or, you know, maybe there's some issues in the home they're in now. There's mold or there's, mm-hmm. you know, rodents or leaks or whatever. There's an established need.
Helping people make that change over to home ownership versus renting.
Yes.
And yeah, maybe not be able to find something suitable rent wise.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. And home ownership is empowering, you know. And I served on the board of Habitat for Humanity in Fulton County back when I was with the Fulton County mm-hmm. Chamber. I served as their secretary. So, you know, when I came on board here, the alignment for me was that I had been a single mom with three children mm-hmm. buying my first home. And I knew how I felt after that happened. I can feel it now.
Yeah.
Right. I could feel the feeling of sitting in my home that I worked hard to build or to get to that stage in my life and feeling empowered. Like I did this. Yeah. It was hard. And it's been hard still, you know, as a mother of children, you know, maintaining and keeping a home is a challenge, but it's all so worth it because that investment in yourself and your family, the legacy that you leave for your children, I know how that feels. So, you know, that really is a passion for me and it resonates that connection to Habitat's work.
That's so important.
Yeah. Providing that opportunity.
Yeah. So a lot of people think about Habitat where you get the group of volunteers that are building a home that is then going to go to one of these families. Is that still how Habitat works?
That's a good question. Habitat is evolving as most nonprofits are in the challenge of how building prices are going up and, you know, all costs are increasing. So there's been a lot of discussion about change of strategy and how Habitat builds homes. And we've got some great relationships with some modular home builders in the area. And we have found through research, through touring those facilities, the quality of these made homes, the modular homes. They make them in factory, they're airtight. And so we're turning towards that concept of modular homes, still using volunteers, except for that that home is nearly complete, right? At least the shell is complete. So we put the home together, and then we need a whole slew of volunteers to paint and to, you know, put doorknobs or, you know, lay sod in the front yard and do landscaping. And so there's a lot
to make it habitable.
To make it habitable and to make it ready for the homeowner.
Yeah.
And the homeowner can be a part of that too, which is, I think, really powerful. You have that sweat equity, that skin in the game kind of thing.
Yeah. So how many people are you able to help, say, in a year's time? Or what would be a typical amount of time that you'd be dealing with the family?
That's a good question, too. And this will go back to the modular strategy. The modular strategy does give us an opportunity to serve more families in a more efficient time frame.
Yeah.
In a stick build, in the previous strategy of building homes, I mean, it would take a year or more to build a home. You know, you buy the land or you get the land donated, hopefully, because that gets us in a good place. And then you have to build the foundation and you have to install the water and the electricity. And there's so many parts of that concept that takes so much time. And I've learned this. I've not been in housing before, but I've learned this.
It's a whole other area for you.
Wow. Yeah. And we have a modular build that we're doing in Warrensburg. And I've just watched the length of the process. We set the house in October and here we are going into March. And we're not even to the volunteer place yet where we can bring in volunteers. Yeah. So it's just.
Because here you got to deal with the weather.
Oh,
there's
yes.
only a certain amount of time in the year that you can be doing some of this work.
Yes. The weather has held us back a lot. And I feel really bad for the poor gentleman who had to roof in this weather. Very cold, very snowy, having to fight those elements has definitely delayed us. So to answer your question, this year we're building three. So we've got one in Warrensburg, two in Hudson Falls. So we'll have three families. Next year, we hope that's more because we're implementing this modular, potentially multi-unit strategy.
Yes. I think I heard about that.
So townhomes, owner-occupied townhomes. We're looking at, you know, areas that we can develop that plan in and partners who we can work with to get that done so that we are serving, you know, more than one or two or three families a year. We're serving, you know, 10 or more families a year.
Yeah.
Because it is a process.
And that's kind of community building as well, like neighbors and.
Absolutely.
Do you find, I don't know, I mean, is there a stigma to this?
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is. You know, I've had, as I've learned.
But they're not, you know, this isn't it's a charity. But like you said, these people have to be put in the sweat equity. They have to have some of the funding towards it.
Correct.
And then they have the responsibility then to pay off a mortgage.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, so, I'm sorry if I didn't finish that thought
No,
earlier.
No, that's fine.
Yes. So the homeowner qualifies for the mortgage once they go through Habitat's application process. We do have a pretty involved application process. You have to meet that criteria. Once you've met that criteria, we introduce you to our lender. That lender takes it from there and gets that family qualified for a mortgage. We raise money. We hope to have grants from municipalities, government funding, federal and state.
Yeah.
And we layer this funding to get the mortgage price down. So, for example, we might build a house for $350,000. If we can raise $100,000, that family is paying a mortgage of $250,000. So it's more affordable for
yes.
them. And a Habitat family can't sell their home. They have to live in their
yeah.
home. We intend this mm-hmm. to be, you know, their first home for a considerable amount of time,
yeah.
if not always.
Do you have a minimum amount of time?
15 years.
15 years.
So we hold a silent mortgage for that
yeah.
time period. Mm-hmm. For that funding that's
yeah.
Been granted.
Mm-hmm.
So that it is a truly a nonprofit relationship, and we are raising funds in order to do that. We do need community. We do need grant funding in order to build these homes at that affordable rate.
Yeah.
Many, many families mm-hmm. can't afford a $350,000 mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think we're in that direction where this is the average home price right?
Up.
Or $500,000, $600,000. It's a double-edged sword. We live in a beautiful community
yeah.
with beautiful homes, and but not everybody can get there
yeah.
at that rate.
So this is a helping hand.
Yes, it's a lift up.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is your mission? Like, what are you looking to do? Like, they said these, like, developments where you can help more people at a time. Like, that's a great mission. What do you need to do to get there?
Infrastructure, capacity. You know, this affiliate is, I would say, relatively small. Our footprint is not. We're not considered a small affiliate.
Yeah.
We're considered more of a mid-size affiliate because mm-hmm. we cover such a large mm-hmm. geographic region.
So you say northern Saratoga County. Is that north of Saratoga?
North of Clifton Park.
North of Clifton Park. Okay.
Up to, you know, Warren, Washington. Mm-hmm. So Hudson Falls, yep. Guns Falls,
yep.
Warrensburg,
yeah.
Lake George.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty wide footprint. Mm-hmm. Even Saratoga County spreads mm-hmm. out, you know, to Galway.
Corinth is northern
Corinth.
Saratoga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of rural communities that have
need. Communities in need. Washington counties.
Yes.
Got a lot of that.
We're excited about Washington County, Hudson Falls this year. Yes, two homes.
Yeah.
What we've created around the Hudson Falls project is a women's build, which is something that resonates greatly with me. I was very passionate about my work with Go Red for Women when I was with the Heart Association, empowering women, helping women to learn their, you know, bodies and their health and to be aware of their risk.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing women together to celebrate those who have survived or those who have changed their lifestyle. Like, it just infuses me. I love it. So when I heard about Habitat's Women Build, I knew that we had to do that and do it well and do it regularly here. So
what
Hudson Falls will be a women
what
build.
Does that involve?
It will be a house that we're building for a woman by women.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be a 4-week fundraising campaign, a competitive fundraising campaign that happens in the midst of that
mm-hmm.
build. So we'll be looking to identify 10 very connected, passionate women about supporting other women mm-hmm. and helping another woman's dream come true to do some competitive fundraising. And then we'll jump on the job site and we'll build with that homeowner and we'll celebrate at the end when we give her those keys. So
that's amazing.
I just love the concept.
I know my mom was a single mom and she rented, and we were always in fear of what if they raised the rent. Luckily, the landlord for a number of years just kept it at $100 a month. Yeah, we were just very lucky that he felt sorry for my mom and could afford to let us live there.
Divine intervention.
But it was always that kind of fear of what would we do? You know, not wanting to live in the project.
Yeah.
You know, so the Habitat, then it's going to be helping a woman like that. And then once you grow up in a home where you own the home, see, it's like generational. It could
yes.
change the future of that whole family.
Absolutely. You've got, you know, deeper roots, right? You've got planted
yeah.
roots when you own a home. You get invested in that home. You're invested in the school your children go to.
Yeah.
You're invested in the community yeah. that you're living in. You want it to thrive. You want to be a part of it. So, yeah, it's life-changing.
It's exciting.
Hmm. It is exciting. Yeah. And as far as the, you know, multiple unit builds, I talked about infrastructure and capacity. We need really a really strong board first. Right now, I'm the only employee of this affiliate.
Yes.
We have our Adirondack, our Southern Adirondack Restore. So we have staff that oversee the Restore and
that
work.
Volunteer.
Not all volunteer. Okay. No, we have staff, part-time and full-time staff.
Okay.
We have a manager and we have volunteers in addition to that. So we do have the capacity to run the Restore with staff and volunteers. And on the organization level, we need those volunteers, those board volunteers, a diverse board with diverse skill sets so that we can really grow this affiliate. We have a workshop, an educational workshop. Oh. We just did the in-person one on Wednesday. It was Homeownership 101. It's really exciting. It's the first time we've done something like this, and we want to do a lot more of it. Community education about home ownership, or the process.
If your parents didn't own a home, or you didn't have relatives that owned a home, it's something that's very foreign.
It is.
And seems unattainable.
It seems unattainable. It's scary.
So you're educating people as well as helping them financially.
Yes. Yes, that's the vision, is as we grow, as we engage capacity, we build more board members, we build more, build our team stronger here, that we'll have the capacity to expand, and we can, you know, really dig into a homeowner education pre and post homeowner, right? And then we can have more events and have more programming that we can extend to the community, serving more people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really our vision. We just want to serve as many as we can.
That's great. So what are you looking for in board members?
We are looking for passion first. I always have said that in my nonprofit career, that if you're not passionate about the mission that you're supporting, you just won't have the drive to extend the time, because, you know, who has time anymore?
Yeah.
Right? It's a commitment. It's a time commitment. If you're passionate about it, you'll make the time to do it. So I would say passion first, an interest in either learning or a skill set in the housing arena. You know, whether that's marketing, communications, real estate, construction, development. I mean, it can run the gamut. We need people who are experienced with law. You know, housing. Law.
Yeah, we need those a variety of skill sets. Yeah.
Yes. In order to have a strong board, you really need a variety of skill sets and experiences.
Yeah.
Or people who want to learn too, right? Like, so that's what we're looking for as far as board development. We're really in the midst of that here in the next quarter, building our board up and starting our new fiscal year July 1st with a brand new, stronger board. Not brand new. We've got some people on our board that we want to keep.
Yes, right. You know, they should stay.
I kind of want that
to overhaul.
Yes. Complete, comprehensive board. And then, you know, bringing in some higher revenue, thinking about, you know, layering funding streams, certainly connecting more with community to let community know how they can help. Right, land donations or product donations, or, you know, individual donations, corporate sponsorships. There's lots of ways to get involved. And I know there's a lot of nonprofits to help. I'm very aware of this.
And because it's been kind of an issue the past few year, I guess the past year, it's been an issue about losing funding, federal funding in particular, for across nonprofits. So now it's highly competitive.
Is
for people's money. There's so many fundraising events going on that, you know, you kind of have to stand out. What do you do to try to stand out?
That's a good question,
right?
Too. I think I try to feel what other people would feel. So I put myself in the position of donors or volunteers mm-hmm. or board members.
Because you've got that strong development background, mm-hmm. which you're bringing to this. So
yeah.
Events and things like that.
Yeah. I really think you have to listen first. I think you have to listen to what donors, board members, volunteers, anyone who's looking to connect with you or collaborate with you, you have to listen first. You know, what is it that they're looking for? How do they want to be involved in, you know, charitable giving or charitable involvement mm-hmm. and meet them where they are, right? Not telling them this is what we have and this is what, you know, we need you to do. But in my experience, it really all comes down to listening first.
And you've got a wide range of options for people to help.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, really any part of volunteering or giving you want to get involved in, we'll make it happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, in my opinion, how nonprofit mm-hmm. should work.
Got the Restore Shop here, which is people donating items, household items, furniture. Some of it has been used. Some of it is new, I see, because I follow your Facebook page. Like, that's like the best way to see what's going on. And you'll have like brand new kitchen cabinets that someone has donated. Tiles and, you know, materials and things like that. And then you've got like the dishes. In fact, I had collected with my mother these blue and white patterned dishes from the American Revolution from Grand Union back in the 70s, mm-hmm, I guess, 80s, mm-hmm, of 70s, yeah. And I've got some of that set, and I was like, oh, they've got the whole rest of the set.
Yeah.
It was pricey, though. So, I mean, you've got some really nice things here.
Yes.
Like, I have a few things. I have a vanity that I got here. It was a job getting it home because it's got the mirror attached.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you got to be really careful with it.
Yeah.
And a bench.
Yeah.
You know, so I have a few things from the Restore in my home.
What I love about it is you're going to find things that are unique, right? Not necessarily cookie cutter. Surely you will find those things,
like,
too.
All but sorts of musical instruments, records, books, mm-hmm, and just about anything you have here now.
Just about anything, yeah. And I just love that you could buy something like, you know, maybe that vanity you bought, and like not every single friend or family member has it in their home, right? It's a unique piece you can be proud of. So I love that. When I come in the store, nearly every time I mm-hmm. come in here, there's something new. It's moved around, and I have to put like blinders on, right?
If you're in here every day, I would be in so much trouble. Like, that's why I don't come in very often, because I know I'll buy something that I probably don't need, but it's like, oh, that's so cool.
Yes.
Or, oh, I always wanted one of those.
Yes.
You know?
Well, if you've always wanted one, you should get it.
Yeah. Right? You got to treat yourself.
Yes, you do.
But, and I know too that, like, we were looking at, WIAWACA is sort of a charity of the Lake George Chambers Women in Business Group. And for a couple of years, we were like taking one of the rooms that they have there and, you know, painting it, and they needed new lamps. So we'd come somewhere like this to get, or I know people with Airbnbs often will use a place like this to furnish.
Yes.
You know, because you're getting nice things and, you know, at a reasonable price, and it's for a really good cause.
Yes.
So.
Yes, it helps
things
build homes.
Restore Shop, and it's right on Route 9, so it's handy. Mm-hmm. Good location. Now, Moreau Commons is opened up next door. So, and there's a lot of development along this area. So this is going to bring a lot more attention.
I heard that.
To this location. Yeah. And now that they've got the sewer lines all done in this area, there's development coming.
I've heard. I've learned a lot about the community. Mm-hmm. You know, since I've not, grown up in the area, similar to you, I graduated from Amsterdam. Raised my kids in Broad Albin. And so that's where I've kind of set my roots because I have a home there.
Yeah.
And so I've traveled, I've vacationed to Lake George, of course, you know, a day trip, and mm-hmm. skied West Mountain and all those things, but I haven't been ingrained in the community like I am now. And it's very interesting and beautiful. And mm-hmm. I just love downtown Glens Falls.
Yeah.
It's just, I choose that most often.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
to go out to dinner or to, you know, meet for coffee or something.
Yeah.
In this area here, this corridor, I've heard a lot about the growth of this corridor, which is great for the Restore.
Yeah. Definitely good. Now, there was talk that this building was going to get redone. That got put on hold.
It's a little bit on hold. Yeah. We're strategizing right now.
Yeah.
You know, we have to prioritize funding and financing what we can. And right now, you know, with these three homes this year, that's really important. The building of the homes.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Restore is important. We want to rebuild our Restore as well. I think I'm hoping by next year, you know, the community will see a little bit about how the community can help make that happen.
Yeah.
But this year is three houses.
Right.
Next year, fingers crossed.
Right. The 10
we can start with the Restore.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the Restore. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's good as it is now. I mean, it's.
We use our space as best as
absolutely.
We can.
Like,
we need more space.
So much stuff packed in here.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. If we, you know, if we could find this, you know, miracle building that we could move our stuff into, that'd be great. But it's just, there's nothing really available on the corridor.
Yeah.
And we want to stay here in this location.
Yeah.
It's important.
A lot of traffic coming by.
Yeah. Easy on 17.
Into Glens Falls.
Yep.
Good traffic area. So what is the website that people can go to get more information?
The website's glensfallshabitat.org.
Okay.
And I know that's a little confusing. You and I talked about that a little.
It is what it is.
We have an established name and we have an AKA name. You'll be seeing that change over the next year or so to Northern Saratoga, Warren, and Washington counties. And hopefully by that time, all of our website and contact information will be consistent.
So you're currently looking for new board members.
Yes, ma'am.
You're looking for support in many different ways financially. And you're going to have that women's build coming up, I'm going to keep my eye on that happening going on.
Yep. Women's build coming. Next year, we're planning to do a veterans build.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So we've got a partner that we're looking to do a golf tournament with in the end of this summer to fund a veterans house next year. So we got a lot of dreams.
You've got your dreams that are going to help other people's dreams of home ownership.
Yeah. And that's always been my
stability
calling.
And happy family homes.
Yeah. It's just I've always felt a calling to serve. I honor my grandparents, my paternal grandparents for that. My paternal grandparents were in love their whole 60 years of marriage, and they were involved in their community and they were involved in their church, and they loved people. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, and they served, they passed along that gift of service to me. And I just feel like I need to pay it forward. It just fills my soul.
Thank you for joining me and listening to the Building Success Stories podcast. We've explored a lot of facts today, but more importantly, we've gained insight into what truly motivates and inspires a leader. Subscribe to the show so you never miss a lesson from our region's most influential voices. And if you found value, the best way to support the local business community is to share this podcast with one other leader who needs that spark today. For more information on the North Country Media Network, visit northcountry.media. I'm Ann Donnelly. Keep learning, keep leading, and keep building your success story.